Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a Bachelor's of Administration from Wayne State University. Since 1989, she's been the president of Ward Williston Oil Company, which is engaged in the acquisition, development, exploration, and production of oil. The company operates its own oil wells and provides a range of production services to oil companies and independent companies throughout North Dakota. It has operations in the Williston Basin of North Dakota and in Michigan. Her name? Lori Cunnington. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to a most amazing lady, Lori Cunnington, who was married in this building a few decades ago. Lori, welcome. A real honor to have you back.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, I grew up in Detroit. I was the oldest of six children, and my father was an entrepreneur. And my parents were both immigrants to this country. So, as a matter of fact, my grandmother was a political refugee. She was Armenian, and she was part of the Holocaust that happened to Armenians.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
You know, the thing I would say both of them, what I learned was you never give up. You always keep trying. Failure is not falling down, failure is refusing to get up. I think I learned that from both of them.
What were you like as a young girl?
Ooh, well, I think I was kind of vanilla. I was shy, but I guess I was taking it all in. I don't know. But like I said, I was the oldest of six, so that put me in kind of a responsible position in my family.
Lori, you're anything but vanilla today, that's for sure.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you.
Where did you get your love for business?
I guess it was through my father. You know, I saw his life pretty exciting. He would go and get up every day and go off to work with his fancy suits. And I just thought that was kind of intriguing. And I think that's where I first fell in love with what business was about.
You got a degree from Wayne State University, and then in 1976, you co-founded Corporate Search.
Right.
How and why?
Well, I was just a young girl. I think I was 25 years old. I started my first company. At that time, I was working for a great guy, and I was doing searches. And what happened was I had some great ideas, and he said to me, "Lori, you are making more money than most men make, and we are not General Motors, so just go back in your office and do your job." So I thought a lot about that, and I thought, but I have these ideas, so I thought I would just try them out and see if they would work for me. So I left that company and started my own, and it was pretty darn exciting for me. It was at a time when women really weren't doing this. So I think for men that were my clients, that was 99% of my clients were men, I think they were kind of maybe intrigued, a little humored that women were doing business things, but they were very gracious to me, and all my clients helped me succeed.
What do all great recruiters have in common?
I think they all really love people. I think they really want the best for people. Really great recruiters. And I know that my staff, that's how I would look at people. Do they really love people? Do they want the best for people?
You know, I had decision consultants for 27 years.
Yep.
We had 15 recruiters. 12 of them were women. The other three weren't that good. Yeah. Why do women make such great recruiters?
I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question before, but I think women see in a person their future, they see their past, and what makes them a good recruiter is they put both of those things together.
This 7-year chapter that you were running the recruiting business, what's the biggest things you learned in those 7 years?
I learned that women could be in business and be very successful. Women could compete on a platform with men. I learned that men were very willing to help women get ahead. And that was one of my secrets of success, that guys helped me.
We're talking to Lori Cunnington, who has been phenomenally successful and is not vanilla. Tom, she is not vanilla. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. And we're with Lori Cunnington. And her husband, Tom, in 1989, purchased Ward Williston Oil Company. So you went from the recruiting business to the oil business. Tell us about Ward Williston.
Well, really, Jack, there was another company in between. But we did start Ward Williston. And we bought a company that was on its last legs in the oil industry. They had wells in Michigan and wells out in North Dakota. They had some service trucks that were on their last legs in North Dakota. And we had maybe a year or so before that, Tom and I decided that we were really intrigued with oil. Let's see what this business is all about. And we actually drilled a couple wells. First, we went with a wildcatter, and we drilled wells in Indiana, Illinois, and we were so novice about this whole thing that we didn't have a dry hole, and we thought, oh, this is really good. This is a great way to make money. And then we decided to do our first well in Michigan. So we got the land, got the equipment, everything was all lined up, and our first well was in Gladwin County in Michigan. And it was an amazing success. As a matter of fact, today that well is still running, which is just unbelievable. So we at this point had not had any dry wells, so we're still like starry-eyed kids looking at this. And this opportunity came up to us to purchase this company in North Dakota and Michigan. So we did. That was Ward Williston. It had ties to Michigan. And we started. And we just thought, oh, we'll put our business skills in here and clean it up, fix it up, and 3 years in and out, we'll sell the company, make a lot of money. Well, those 3 years turned into many, many years of a lot of hard work. And when we finished up, we had over 150 semi-trucks working for us, picking up our oil. We had over a couple hundred wells, and we were not only in the service business, but we were drilling for crude. So we're part of the Bakken play in North Dakota, and God really just blessed us.
Tell us about North Dakota.
North Dakota. When we first came into North Dakota, there was 600,000 people in North Dakota. When we left almost 20 years later, there was 600,000 people in North Dakota. North Dakota, the people are amazing. They're just, it's true grit, the American, America, what you think it is. That's what North Dakota people are. And, but we were there, it's a prairie. It's a prairie. You don't see another house for miles and miles. We would fly in, stay at a hotel in a place called Minot, North Dakota, and then we would have to drive an hour to go out to our facilities out there. We eventually built a house out there so that we wouldn't have to drive that hour and a half every time we came into town. And but we love it. We love the people, and it's pretty exciting for oil. The oil man is very welcomed in North Dakota. North Dakota had, when all the country was suffering, North Dakota had a $6 billion surplus. The state did, because of the oil man. And by the way, I believe with all my heart that Michigan could have that too, but Michigan is not an oil-friendly state. So there you have it. We kind of love the North Dakota people.
You and Tom have had a great partnership for decades.
Yes, we have.
And also, you've been a business team.
Yes, we are.
Very hard to do, husband and wife. What's been the key? Other than he says, yes, dear, 20 times a day.
You know, when we go in the office, we are business people. He has his office, he has his responsibility, I have mine. But I think that he really respects me. I really respect him. And I think that's really where the key lies. He's an amazing guy, and he's an amazing businessman, and together we're a great team.
The different businesses you guys have had, you've always had a great company culture. What's that culture always been?
All the time, we have hired maybe not the most successful people, but they were hard workers. Hard workers with amazing integrity. Integrity was something that we looked for, hired, and if we found that we made a mistake, we were quick to make that change.
How did you propagate the culture throughout the companies?
You know, Jack, I think that comes from the leaders. If your leaders have integrity, then your people will. If your leaders want the best for their people, then those second-tier leaders will want the best for their people, too.
When you started the corporate search business in 76, you were a pioneer as a woman entrepreneur. And boy, over these last 40-plus years, it's amazing how many women entrepreneurs have become very successful. What advantages do women have as an entrepreneur?
Wow. You know, most people want to know what disadvantages women have, and everyone can list those very quickly. But for advantages, I think that for me, starting out, I was an anomaly. And so that made it a little more intriguing to people to do business with a woman versus having to do business with men all the time. But now the playing field is more equal. And I think that I don't see the difference so much between men and women in the workplace. I see that we're all working towards the same goal.
Back in 1988, I met Mary Kay Ash, the famous Mary Kay, with the pink Cadillacs. Did you ever own a pink Cadillac?
No, I didn't.
And she wrote me a letter talking about business. And she said, Jack, P&L not only stands for profit and loss, but more importantly, P&L stands for people and love.
That's kind of beautiful.
True.
People in love. I guess that's the key, isn't it? Everyone has their own business philosophy and their own philosophy of life. For me, I would say that my philosophy of life is very simple, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is something that Jesus taught us.
The two greatest commandments. You and Tom are extremely humble people.
Thank you.
As you've run businesses being humble, don't your employees and your clients take advantage of you?
Never. Never. I honestly can say no one has ever taken advantage of me. And I think if Tom was sitting here, he would say that too. When you have to do difficult things, you do them. And no one has ever taken advantage of me.
You have a very strong faith.
Yes, I do.
How has your faith helped you in running your businesses?
Well, I just told you my philosophy of life. And for me, it's personal, but I try my best to live my life through the principles that Jesus has laid before us. So it's kind of like my guidepost. It always has been throughout my life, through good times and bad times. And if the Bible says it, I believe it, and I go from there.
Another thing I've observed from you for the decades that we've known each other is everything you do, Lori, is first class. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a dinner party, whether it's a gift, the way you wrap it, how you dress every day, Everything. How and why?
Thank you. First of all, thank you, Jack, for saying that. But I really believe in my heart, there's a verse in the Bible that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so I take that kind of literally, that whatever you do, you should be the best at it. And attention to detail is really important. And you mentioned dinner parties or gifts, but I think when I have a dinner party, it is my gift to my friends. And I take it that way, that I'm giving them a gift for that night.
You give them a gift that they never forget the rest of their life. All right,
you.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Lori. Tom and her are very giving people, to say the least. That's the path we're going down. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasulo, and we're with Lori Cunnington, her and her husband, Tom, phenomenally giving people. Lori, in the early 80s, you and Tom saw a Time magazine cover. Changed your life, changed tens of thousands of lives as well.
Yes, it did, Jack. It really did change us. So, early 80s, there was a cover of a Time magazine. It had on the cover this pathetic looking woman who was sitting on the ground. Her clothes were barely closed. She was wrapped in sort of a burlap, but on her lap was a little baby, and the baby had all the signs of starvation. The big belly, orange hair, eyes bulging out, and you could actually see the baby's bones from the picture. We looked at the picture. Inside was an article about Mozambique and how Mozambique was experiencing a famine, a drought, and a civil war all at the same time, and how hundreds of people were dying. So Tom looked at this, I looked at it, and Tom said, Lori, we have to do something about this. Now, neither one of us knew anything about relief work. We knew nothing about international work, but this is what he said. We have to do something. So the next day, I called a big relief organization, and they said, some clerk answered the phone and said, oh, Africa always has problems. So I thought, oh, okay. I told Tom, I said, so I guess we're not supposed to do anything about it. And he said, oh, I guess not. So we just kind of put it aside. And then what happened to us is about 6 months later, we got a call from one of our friends, Tom Demery, a Bloomfield Hills businessman at the time. And he said, look, I just met this guy from Africa. He's a businessman. He's coming to town. He's trying to get some help because he is trying to help the people of Mozambique. And we were like, wow, Mozambique, this article. We just saw this article. Maybe this is something we're supposed to be helping with. So we met it, by the way, at Red Fox, Macus Red Fox restaurant. And Peter Petorius was his name. And Peter came in kind of disheveled from 17 hours of flight time and told us his story.
He and his wife, Anne, started JAM, Joint Aid Management, which now is feeding a million children a day, seven countries. Tell us about Peter and Anne Pretorius.
Okay. Well, back then, he was a businessman, and he went in. He heard the plight of the people of Mozambique, maybe like we heard for the Time magazine article. So he flew in to Mozambique on private plane, landed. The pilot said, I have to go and get fuel somewhere else, and I'll be back in 3 hours. So Peter landed, as Peter told us the story that night, and all he could do was pick up a shovel and start burying people. There were children running around dead bodies. There were children that were laying on the ground with the last breath inside them. And that plane didn't come back in 3 hours. That 3 hours lasted for 7 days. And this changed Peter totally. And he went back home, said his famous statement to his wife, Anne, our complaint department is forever closed, and started himself reaching in his pocket and getting food and taking food over to the people in Mozambique. Kind of ran low on funds, and somebody said, well, Americans are generous people. Go over to America and see what you can do. So he came here and met some people, and that's how we met him. But JAM wasn't started at that time. It was people that were just individually reaching in, believed what Peter said, believed who he was and his own personal integrity. So Tom and I began this journey with Peter and Anne. And at that time, we helped build an orphanage. We have done food factories there. We now, he's feeding over a million children
a day.
A day. And educating and feeding. They go side by side. So it's really God's miracle.
And because of you, Pam and I met them a number of times, had them on the show 3 times, one of the 2 greatest guests I've ever had on the show. If you want to learn more, JAM, Joint Aid Management, JAMINT.com. All right. 2007, one day, you walk into Costco. No doubt the best-dressed woman with the fanciest bag in Costco. And God reached out again. What happened?
He did. God just had these little assignments, I guess, along the way. But I was in Costco, and there was this lady behind me that she had the most unusual cart. She had a big, huge, oversized bag of fruit. On top of that oversized bag of fruit was another huge, oversized bag of vegetables. And then on top of that was another big, oversized bag of cherries. And I looked at that, and I looked at her, and I said, that is the most unusual bag cart I have seen. And she smiled, and she said, well, I'm a nun. I'm a nun, and I take these bags, and I open them up, put them in Ziploc bags, and I help the people that don't have anything in Pontiac. I thought, oh, wow, well, you're a nun. This is amazing. And when I got up to the front, I said to the lady, the cashier, I'm taking care of the lady behind me. Well, our little nun, her name is Sister Maria, And Sister Maria looked at me and said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that you're doing this. I came here today. My car is on empty. I had no money for gas, and now I can get gas." And I looked at her and I thought, "Oh my goodness, you have no gas. Well, here is $50 for gas." And just, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you just did. You bought me gas. Now I can pay the electric bill," because I wasn't sure if I could pay the electric bill. And I'm like, I just opened my wallet and took all the cash I had and said, "Here, there you go." And she said, "Well, can I just know who you are?" And I said, "Oh no, it's not really not important who I am." And she said the magic words, really. She said, "Well, can I pray for you?" And I said, "Oh my goodness, yes." Here, I gave her my card, and this is how our friendship started from 2008. And now she's our nun. We take care of her, and she takes care of us. She comes over, and when all the markets crashed in 2008, and everybody, I never thought that the energy market would crash, but it did. And she called me up one day and she says, "I want to come over and pray over the company." And these are our corporate offices. We're in Bloomfield Hills. So I said, "Sure, come on over." Well, I had no idea what we're in for. So she came over and I asked each person, "You know, Sister Maria is going to pray over us. And if you'd like, everyone that would like to could meet in the conference room." So everyone met. They all met, by the way. We all needed prayer back then. And so she had songs, and she started off with, "Okay, Tom, would you sing this song?" And I think Tom's eyes were bulging out, and I took it from there and said, "Well, Sister, why don't you sing the songs?" And she prayed over us, and I really believe that that helped us get through those difficult times.
God works in strange ways, and God uses us to be His arms and legs, yes, if we allow Him to. We're talking to Lori Cunnington, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Lori Cunnington, and God also got you involved, you and Tom, with Westside Christian Academy.
Yes. So Westside Christian is a small inner city school that has about 100 children there. And a few years ago, our friends Pam and Mike McCarthy came to us and they said, "We want to help this little school and we want to do over their auditorium. And would you help?" So we helped along with 20 or 30 other people that Mike and Pam had, and we did this auditorium. Next thing, they came to us again and said, "Well, now that we did the auditorium, we want to do the gym, because these kids should have a nice, clean gym with all the facilities necessary." So we went in and helped them do the gym. And then little by little, step by step, Pam and Mike, the school was renovated. And so now we're thinking about what else we could do. And we thought about literacy, because literacy is the key. You know, you can have all the beautiful buildings, and if your children can't read and write, what do you have? So we worked with Beyond Basics. We talked to them and told them that this is something that we would like to do for Westside Christian, the whole school. And so they put a plan together, and it's in the process right now of bringing literacy to Westside. And their first step was to test all of the kids and find out who could read at what level. So that step is done, and then after that, Beyond Basic has an amazing program that's tried and true. I think this is the first time they've actually done a whole school, so we'll be able to see how that benefits in bringing this whole school up. But there we go. We're doing the school, and Beyond Basic is the key to it.
Westside Christian Academy is www.westsidecA.org. And Beyond Basics is www.beyondbasics.org. Pam is looking for a development officer. I think she just might have found one here. Okay. All right. Jennifer Vellapi was a woman who grew up downriver, went to Oakland University, became a weather person in Flint, then went to New York City, Miami Beach, and starts something called Women of Tomorrow.
Right. So Jennifer is, in addition to all those things you just said, she is a three-time Emmy winner. She anchored in Miami, the Miami market, and New York. And her story was very success-oriented. But she had this longing to help people. So 20 years ago, she started this organization called Women of Tomorrow. And Women of Tomorrow, what they do is women like myself will go in and actually mentor inner-city girls. And if the girls go to all their mentoring sessions, at the end, we work in getting them scholarships to college. So it was very successful in Miami, and Jennifer wanted to bring this to the Detroit market. So she did, as a matter of fact, the same year that Detroit was claimed bankruptcy. So it was very rocky, the start was. People were, holding on to every dime they had. No one was really willing to help. But the Knight Foundation sponsored Jennifer to be in this market. And I've been working with them. I'm on the board, and it's amazing the things that we've seen, the young people. We in Detroit alone, we've given out over $7 million worth of scholarships in the last 4 or 5 years. And it's just a fabulous organization. We have seen the first time that we really started anything was Ernst & Young asked me if I would help them do a launch of one of their programs, and I convinced them that they should have a charity arm. So that charity arm was Women of Tomorrow, and we were brand new in town, and I said to the leader at that time in Detroit, could you get just some little girl that could say a few nice things about Women of Tomorrow in front of all these people from Ernst & Young, and that would be great. So she said, fine. And this little girl, 16 years old, gets up in front of all these Bloomfield Hills and Detroit people and said what her name was. And then she said, I was in a gang. And in order to be in a gang, I had to be gang raped and gang beat. It landed me in the hospital. But it didn't bother me because I was in the gang. And then after Women of Tomorrow, I met some of these successful women, and they told me I didn't have to be in this kind of lifestyle. And so I decided to get out of the gang. But in order to get out of the gang, I had to be gang raped and gang beat. Now, as she's saying this, the audience, you could hear a pin drop. It just took everyone's breath away because this was real. This wasn't something that they were reading about or in some little magazine, but this was a little girl that was 16 years old that was getting up in front of all of these business people and telling us her story. That really changed a lot of people. We had a lot of people that wanted to be involved with Women of Tomorrow, and that was one of our early starts. Today we have many more stories like that.
Women of Tomorrow, www.womenoftomorrow.org. They're helping 4,500 at-risk girls in 200 high schools in dozens of cities, including Detroit. 2007, Lori, Tom gets cancer.
Yep.
What did that teach you, first off?
It taught me that all you can do when you have life-threatening things happen to you. For me, you say, oh, I love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I try my best to follow him. But then when some big tragedy comes your way, you find out what you really, really believe in. And I can say for Tom and I, what we decided is we will follow Jesus. And it's worth it. It's worth it to follow Jesus.
I quote you now, if you have cancer, run to it, yeah. Don't run from it. Yeah. If somebody's just found out they have cancer or a loved one has cancer. What do you say to that person tonight?
That is exactly what I would say. A lot of times fear and cancer go hand in hand, and you've got to get out of the fear. Don't be afraid. There's really amazing, amazing breakthroughs right now, but you're not going to find them if you sit back paralyzed and do nothing or just wait for the doctor to decide. We didn't wait for a doctor to decide. We went and we decided to take things in our own hands. And we had contacts at Harvard that we used. We had contacts at Sloan Kettering that we used. And for us, basically, it was Beaumont Hospital that implemented everything. So, and God gave us a miracle. It was purely a miracle. So this is, 11, 12 years ago now, and Tom's totally cancer-free.
And as a way of saying thanks, you and Tom donated a clinic at Beaumont. And the message on the clinic door says, God and good medicine. Why?
This is what we believe. And, you know, we're going to do the clinic. By the way, I want to tell you that this clinic isn't just a average little clinic. This is a clinic that people can go to that have lung cancer, specifically lung cancer. And it's the clinic is set up electronically that if you need to bring in your child who lives in Arizona, you can bring that child to the meeting by electronically. If you have another doctor that you want his advice on, you can bring that doctor to the conference table. It's a beautiful, the designer was Pamela McCarthy. She designed it, so it's a beautiful facility. And so what we wanted on the door was Tom's quote, and that is God and good medicine. Because for us, it was hand in hand, good medicine, but God is the one that gave us the victory.
And Lori, you're beautiful as well. Thanks for all
Thank
you guys
you.
Do.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.
Believe in yourself.